Good evening, everybody. Hello. It is Sunday. No, it's Monday, actually. September 5th, 2022. It's Labor Day. Feels like a Sunday. Although, labor-wise, I was working outside in the garden all day, and I'm all stiff and sore. Haven't had to cut the lawn in a month and a half because it's been really dry. Was kind of worried the lawnmower wouldn't start when you let it sit, but it was okay. Just tripled the gas and away it went. A gas lawnmower. Yes, yes, kids, if you're listening to this in 2030, we used to fill up our lawnmowers with gas and pull start them. And they made a lot of stinky smells, but my God, they had a lot of power. I cut through about 8 inches of grass and it didn't barely choke. Try that with your electric lawnmower and see if it lasts the whole lawn. Yeah, I'm speaking to the future. That may be the future. Internal combustion engines may be a thing of the past if you're listening to this in a future time capsule. I hope you do. I hope you do save this show, all the archives, whatever, 21, 30 gigabytes of audios that we've got, and put it on a stick, a memory stick, and just hope that they can read memory sticks in 2030, 2040. But everyone should do this, because if they wipe out everything they don't like on the internet, you're going to have to share the old-fashioned way with physical copies of media. So keep that in mind. It's a very fast-moving psyop that we're in. It's very exciting. Tonight, we're joined by Mike Stone of ViralLyG.com, because he is really following closely the poor Nima Wah story that I just sort of caught on to this past week. So I'm behind the curve. So that's why I thought I'd talk to Mike, because he's been doing this a little bit longer following it. And here he is, Mike. Mike, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fan-frickin-tastic. Getting a little cooler
I was just going to say, I have an electric lawnmower, and I don't think it would last. Like, if it gets up a certain height, it doesn't last very long, and I have to charge it like maybe 4 times just to mow the lawn. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the battery to last and have enough power would probably have to be about 50 pounds, and then you'd be pushing 50 pounds around, which is probably good exercise. My lawnmower is pretty heavy anyway. It's got the self-driving wheels that I don't know if I fix them right. It doesn't seem like they're really pulling me along like they should. But yeah, you need a huge battery, and then you have to stop. And when you cut the lawn, you just want to be done. You don't want to go back a charge cycle later. You just, especially if it might rain, like today, there's a big black cloud over me. Then I just got to get this done. Yeah. And maybe, should you cut your lawn with an electric lawnmower if it starts raining? I'm not sure that would be a great idea.
Yeah, might not be a good combo.
There are so many problems with this electrified future they want for us. I'm all for it. I got solar panels. I got a hybrid. And I'm for it in a lot of ways. But just the way they're crowbarring it in is, it's not going to work the way they're hammering people with this.
Yeah, so it's interesting how they're bringing it all out. That's for sure.
Well, they're just shoving it down everyone's throat. I guess they figure, well, you can shove a vaccine down people's throat. Why not a so-called electric car that nobody can afford? They're doing it wrong. They're doing it wrong. You should use the carrot approach if you can. Anyway. We're here to talk about poor Nima Wah. I just saw this a couple days ago, and I put it on FakoTube, which is my video platform, FakoTube.com. And immediately I was told, why are you promoting this woman? She's a fraud. She's a phony. And I thought, oh, brother, have I been sucked in again? Because I thought she was saying some really great stuff. And I think you thought the same, too, maybe initially. And then I thought, well, what does it matter if she's got, if they're questioning her credentials? We already don't like people with credentials, I thought. And so you've been in on this, and there's been an email list discussing this. I just got an email from one of the listeners just before you came on. I was reading it, and I think you're on that email list where you guys were communicating with her. So Maybe you could just run down the story as you know it from when you got in on it and tell me what you think, because you're a definite leading spokesman when it comes to Virology. Virology.com is your website. And I'm just looking at your comment thread here. I haven't even gone through that yet. It's amazing what's going on.
Yeah, it's been a kind of a hot issue right now. And, you know, it started off, I didn't become aware of this until, well, it was July when her first video came out. But her first presentation with Regis Tremblay. And, you know, when I was made aware of it, because, yeah, I'm in an email chain with a group of people, and they had alerted us to this. And this was when we were first formulating, or in the middle of formulating, the no virus challenge. I believe we discussed that last time.
Yeah.
And so we were in the midst of doing, you know, putting together the protocol for how, you know, if we were going to meet Virology halfway, you know, and they were going to try and prove that their methods worked, we would want, you know, 5 independent labs blinded to each other, working with samples from, you know, healthy people, people with lung cancer, people with influenza A, and people that were said to have SARS-CoV-2. And they'd have to show that they can all recreate the same results, basically, you know, doing the proper controls, showing that the methods actually work, and if they're blinded to this, that they all get the same results and can reproduce and replicate those. And so Pornima, her presentation came out, I believe it was like a week before we were about to launch this thing. And her presentation was actually really good. I mean, the thing that I think is so captivating about her is she was speaking to a lot of the things that many of us have been saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, she's hit on a lot of the same points, you know, that they've never been scientifically proven to exist. They can't fulfill Koch's postulates. Germs don't cause disease. Germ theory is basically a lie, all that. And she had highlighted a lot of, like, some of my work and people like Dr. Cowan and Dr. Kaufman and the Baileys and stuff like that. And so, a lot of it spoke to us. But the thing that with that presentation, she was claiming to be a dual PhD, so in both virology and immunology, which was a little bit of a red flag, just because I believe she had said she'd gotten them in 2016 after like 3 years. And so it was, we were trying to figure out, you know, the timeline on how someone could get 2 PhDs in such a short time. But during her presentation, she was speaking about how she had run this experiment with 1,500 samples that were supposedly supposed to have SARS-CoV-2 in them. And that her lab, she was basically her PI wanted her to do this isolation. They'd received like a grant from the National Institute of Health. I believe it was like $1.5 million. And they wanted her to take these samples, this massive amount of samples, and isolate the SARS-CoV-2 virus from all of them. And she said she was reluctant. She didn't want to do it because she had already known that the virus lie, you know, it was a lie and stuff like that. But so she basically didn't want to do it, but agreed. She talked her PI into allowing, if she was going to do it, she wanted to do it her way, where she would put it through the steps that needed to be done, purification, isolation, characterization, that she would try to fulfill Koch's postulates and isolate it, purify and isolate and characterize it that way. So long story short, they did not find anything within their samples that they tested in all 1,500. They said there were no viruses whatsoever. Her PI didn't like that, I believe, and wanted her to try it again. And eventually they went through the process 3 times, and every single time they came through with the same results. And somewhere in there too, they did some, sorry, I forgot to mention, they did animal experimentations with ferrets, trying to make them sick with fluids from the samples, and could not make any of the ferrets sick. I believe the only thing she said was like a few of them lost some fur on their tails.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so, you know, it all sounded really good. It was very detailed, the story and everything. And it was very amazing, like, exciting for us, because we're like, well, this is exactly what we wanted, is someone to go through and do these steps and show that this virus does not exist in these fluids. And she then said because of this, her PI had reached out to, I believe, like 100 different universities to try and see if anyone would want to try and recreate these results. And there were six other universities that ended up responding, according to her, and they all followed her protocol. So the same exact steps that she had set out, and none of them could find SARS-CoV-2 in the samples as well. So basically it was, you know, piece for piece, what we wanted done with this no virus statement, or the settling the virus debate challenge that we had put through. And, you know, if this research had actually, if it existed, it would be the final nail in the coffin for virology. It'd prove that they cannot find viruses using those methods. And, you know, we'd have multiple labs trying to do the same thing and basically repeating those results. So it was a pretty amazing story, but, you know, it's one that's from our end. As good as it sounded, it also sounded almost too good to be true, so to speak. And so that's why we had some concerns initially from that presentation. And I believe it was Christine Massey who had reached out to Pornima an email, and, you know, just saying, you know, we want to speak with you. We'd like to introduce ourselves. There's a group of us. We would like to meet you through a Zoom call. And I can't remember if the original email we were asked saying we were going to, you know, ask some questions and stuff like that. But the idea was we wanted to speak with her and see, you know, vet her, make sure that the stuff that she was saying was true, that not only was she a dual PhD in virology and immunology, but also that she had done this research. And even at that time, when we had first heard this presentation, there was some in the group that were seriously doubting even putting out the no virus challenge. They're like, well, if she's already done this work, why even go through with this? But we ended up saying, well, you know, we don't know if she's done this. We've seen no evidence. It's just her story. We need to go through with it and put it out there. And if for some reason this turns out to be true, then we can, you know, retract the statement, and, you know, we've got the study and the work that's already been done. So it was very important to us to find out if this research actually existed, and to verify that it existed. So none of us, like for myself, you know, just speaking personally, I could not promote her. I wanted to, because I thought there's a lot in her presentations that it really spoke to me. And there were some things that she said that I didn't quite agree with, but, you know, it was something that you want to be able to promote. But until I knew for sure that she was who she said she was and that she had done this research, I knew if I put this out there and I'm saying, hey, here's a virologist, another virologist like Dr., you know, Dr. Stefan Lanka, here's another virologist who's done the control experiments. She led all this stuff, and, you know, now we can prove virology is a fraud, or, you know, further prove it. And then it comes out, you know what, she doesn't have those PhDs. She never did the research. It blows up on me and anyone else who shares that. So that was a major concern.
I'm lucky that I don't have as much as much to lose as on my website, because I toss a lot of controversial stuff up. So you have a different story on your site, because you have a much more researched, thoroughly researched site. So I can imagine it must be way more difficult for you to just toss something up because you've got to really spend time, like you just said, vetting her. So I'm a little more quick to get excited and put it up there. And I guess I can suffer the consequences to that, but I don't really have a reputation for having everything perfect, so it's okay. I find it I toss a lot of stuff up there saying, hey, this person's great, and then people tear it down on my site. I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me. I actually appreciate that because they'll point out all the problems, and I let the people do the work. The people of my site do the work, and they're pretty damn good at it, so I appreciate that.
It's nice to have the community, and that's the thing. So it wasn't like when we were going through this, it was no formal, you know, team of people vetting it. It was just an email chain. We were, I don't have a very good investigative background as far as trying to verify if someone actually has, you know, the credentials they say. But I just remember I was going through early on, doing some Google search, just trying to see if she had any sort of social media presence or, you know, if she'd written any papers. And I came across a different Purnima Wah. It was spelled P-U-R-N-I-M-A instead of P-O-O-R-N-I-M-A. And this is a woman who had published some papers, and she was a cancer researcher.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was, you know, some people are saying, well, they're the two same people, but even the Purnima, P-O-O-R, has said they're two completely different people. So they're not the same person. And it was pretty apparent just based on the work in education history that Purnima had presented in her presentations, that they were not the same person. But, you know, so we were looking through that. We were trying to just find anything. Part of her story, I did leave this out, was that eventually, I believe it was April of 2021, their lab was raided by the FBI.
Right.
And that everything was confiscated, like their computers, all their work and everything. And she said that it was herself and I believe four other people had kept digital copies and photocopies of all the work. And so she had this stuff. And when we tried to find any sort of, you know, information, press release or anything about an FBI raid on any sort of campus, and some people were even going through social media because they're like, well, the FBI, you probably wouldn't hear about a raid. But if it was on a campus, you'd probably hear some students, especially in April, you know, 2021, you'd think some students would have some sort of comments about the FBI coming to their campus and raiding a lab or something like that. But from everything that we could find, there was no mention of any FBI raid at any time. So there's just a lot of question marks. And so when we reached out to her, we just wanted to address some of these questions because the goal was for us to promote her. We wanted to get her presentations out there if this turned out to be legit. So it wasn't like, I believe in one article, someone said it seemed like we had an expansive budget and we were targeting her and it was, you know, to try and tear her down. That was definitely not the goal. We were very hopeful that when we went through this, that we would find out, yes, she is who she says she is.
Yeah.
We could wait for her to publish the research because she said she was trying to get it published at one time in Texas and another time in India. But She initially agreed to do a Zoom call, and it was only going to be with Dr. Kaufman and Dr. Cowan, and I believe Dr. Bailey were agreeing to, you know, meet with her. We didn't want to throw everyone on her at one time. We wanted her to be comfortable.
Yeah,
didn't want her to feel like we were grilling her or interrogating her or anything like that. And it's so. It was just a small group. We were just trying to meet with her, but eventually she initially agreed, and she seemed very open to it. And she said she had some work she wanted to do, so it might be a few weeks. So we waited, reached out to her again. I believe it was Christine, and then she said that I can't remember at the time. Maybe it was like family stuff that was going on, but she couldn't do it. And she kept kind of kicking the can down the road, so to speak. And which is fine. You know, we weren't trying to pressure her to meet with us or anything. But during this time when we were trying to reach out to her, she was doing interviews still. She was doing presentations and
with the friendly group, I guess, or the maybe the pre-planned group that she's interviewing with. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. And that's kind of what was concerning, was that she was willing to meet with them. And we weren't saying, hey, you got to come to like a live broadcast with anyone and, you know, do a presentation first. We just wanted to sit down maybe like 30 minutes. Just, hey, can you answer some questions for us? Just so we know that this is legit and everything. And so it just kept getting kicked down the road, so to speak. And eventually, I believe she went on, I can't remember the name of the woman, but it's something that was connected with Rainer Fulmike. And these are people that, you know, Dr. Kaufman and Stefan Lanka had met with, and they basically blew him off and wouldn't, you know, listen to them about the fact that there was no existence of any virus. And then they were inviting a relative newcomer, someone, you know, who hadn't really even presented the evidence that she was speaking of, was now coming on and speaking with them. And so it was
Dr. Y. Ching Lee, is that it?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, somebody on a Substack called apocalypticyoga.substack.com put a list of all the videos.
Yeah, Bill Houston's Substack.
Oh, that's Bill? Okay.
Yeah, he's done some excellent job documenting all this. And it was just, there was some concerns that, you know, if we don't get this figured out, if we don't find out that she really is who she says she is and that she's actually done this research. She also in one of her later presentations with Regis was discussing doing vaccine research with like 18 scientists around the world, and that they were looking into all these vaccines and dissecting them and finding what's in them and what's not in them and stuff like that. So it just seemed more imperative that we have to find out for sure what's going on. And again, like I said, it wasn't in the goal was not to tear her down. It was to just make sure that it was someone that we could promote and
someone you could trust. Yeah,
basically. It's a matter of trust. And, you know, she did end up agreeing, Eric Coppolino, he's an investigative journalist who was in the email chain, had decided to reach out to her and just to see if he could ask her some questions. You know, if she wasn't going to meet with the rest of us, maybe he could do it, because he's kind of independent, you know, not really a part of, you know, kind of on the outside, so to speak. But he was still, you know, in communication with all of us. And so he reached out to her. She agreed to a pre-interview with him. She didn't want to go on his show right off the bat. She wanted to do a pre-interview, see what type of questions he wanted to ask and stuff like that. And then, you know, if it went well, then they would do the actual interview.
Yeah.
And so he agreed to that, and they did it. And he had had like a 45-minute conversation with her, which he had recorded. And
I think I played a bit of that. I think I played a bit of that myself.
And he wasn't, you know, he was just doing what any investigative journalist would do. He was just asking questions. He wanted to find out about her work, you know, anything that she could divulge about the research, you know, maybe the methods section. How did you go through and purify and isolate the, you know, attempt purification and isolation of the virus? And, you know, how did you match it? Like, which genome did you match it to? Different things along those lines. And, you know, what's interesting is we all thought it went rather well. Like, until afterwards, she had emailed and said that she had felt like she was grilled and interrogated by Eric, and that because of that interview, she would not be meeting with anyone. She wouldn't meet with Dr. Cowan. She wouldn't meet with Dr. Kaufman. No one. She basically cut off all communication based on this interview with Eric, which I think anyone who listens to it would immediately say he did not grill her or interrogate her. It wasn't like a threatening conversation. She was even laughing at the end because they were talking about astrology and different things. I'm not saying he didn't ask her some tough questions, but it was stuff that you would expect an investigative journalist to ask. But it was through that, because of that interaction, he wanted, you know, he ended up reaching out to the school that she, the London Hygiene School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, to see if they had any, you know, evidence of her attending the place, or if she had, you know, earned a PhD or anything like that, and received the response that no one by that name has ever been here nor received any PhD. Some people had raised up the question, well, what if it's spelled by a different way? You know, since there's two pronemas, maybe it's under the other name. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, and he reached out again. They said, no one by the last name of Waugh or any other spelling of her name has ever been at this university or received any degrees from us. So it pretty much, you know, showed us what we feared, was that these credentials didn't exist. And because of that, it starts, you start to question her story. Well, did this research really exist? And I'm not sure how familiar you are with her story. Pretty much was identical, almost. There was a little bit of differences, but almost identical to a story that came out in December of 2020 about, and it's been accredited to different people. There was a Dr. Derek Nass, who was a dual PhD in virology and immunology. At one point, they said it was Dr. Robert Oswald, I believe, who is a real person. Derek Nass is a fictional character, apparently. Mm-hmm. No one can ever verify that this guy even exists. But the Robert Oswald was a real person who denied any involvement whatsoever, and said that the virus does exist. So he obviously is not someone who's going to say that they did research to prove it didn't. And then there was some confusion with a guy named Patrick Gunnels, who's a YouTuber.
Yeah, I saw him.
I guess he had read the story online, or like the version that was printed online, he read on YouTube, and people thought he was, because he was reading it as Derek Nass.
Okay.
And so people thought he was the guy.
He was
the virologist or whatever. So it was a lot of confusion, but basically the story has popped up numerous times since then, from December 2020. And the story was basically that they had 1,500 samples of supposed SARS-CoV-2. They did the studies with Koch's postulates, could not find SARS-CoV-2, but they did find influenza A, and in some of those samples was influenza B, that they ended up teaming up with like 6 or 7 universities, and they all performed. I mean, it was basically line for line what she was saying. So that was a big red flag. I can't remember who it was in our group who had found that story, but all of us immediately after reading it were like, oh my gosh, yes, we remember this story coming out, because it was kind of big at the time. And so we, you know, you're putting two together. This woman does not appear to have the credentials that she claimed to have. And her story about this research matches a story that's been basically debunked numerous times from December 2020 on. And so those were like some really big red flags that were kind of screaming, like, we need to find out the truth about this. It was either one of two things. One is that Pronema was finally giving us the real events of the story, or she read it at one point and incorporated it into her own story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the fact that she does not have those PhDs, it seems more than likely that she just copied it from that.
Do you think any of her story is true? Is it all fabricated? Is she really from India? Obviously she looks Indian, but doesn't mean she was born there. Do you think her father really worked for Pfizer? Do you think any of it's true? Is this all a well-woven fabrication? Do you think she did it on her own? Do you think she's being paid by Big Pharma? Because, you know, this is we all know here at Fake College, this is a huge psyop. This is not going away. They're going for broke. It's all or nothing with them. I still think they're going to fail. I still think the gig is going to be up for vaccines, but they just keep pushing. They're not stopping.
No, they aren't.
At least here. It's worse here in Toronto. I don't know about where you are.
No, I imagine it is.
We're in the belly of the beast.
I don't know. That's the hard thing. That was the frustrating thing, was trying to piece together what was true and what wasn't. Because even with their presentations, there's a lot of truth in what she was saying. I think that's why she captivated so many people.
Yeah.
Is because she was pretty much, you know, repeating what we were coming out and saying. And she does a good job of presenting it and speaking. Her slideshows were really good.
Yeah, they were. Catchy.
And so, you know, it lends some credibility, because it lines up with so much of what, you know, Dr. Kaufman is saying, Dr. Cowan is saying, the Baileys are saying, Dr. Corbett, like a lot of people, you know, stuff I've been putting out there. And so, you know, but people are saying, well, is she bringing anything new to the table, or is she just repeating what we're saying, you know, back? And the stuff that she did bring new was the, you know, the story about the lab leak with, or not the lab leak, but the 1500 samples. And that was already questionable.
Yeah. And 1500 is sort of hoax code here in the fakeologist world.
Yeah. It's
anytime you type in at least 1500, the words at least 1500 or 1500, it comes up. It's almost like the 6 million number. 6 million is a huge repetitive number. There's some occult meaning to it. And it's all the time. 6 million this, 6 million that. So anyway, that's just I'm just trying to bring in some fakeology to this conversation. Because if this is a psyop and fakery, there's a lot of numbers that do repeat. 18 is a big one. I think that's Kai the occult. 18,
that's like the 18 scientists that she is working with.
And then, it's like the 19 hijackers, COVID-19. 19 is a repetitive as well. They love 19, ones and nines. So it seems silly, but they use it. I'm telling you.
Oh, definitely. And you can look and see a lot of the symbolism in there. And, the thing with that vaccine, you know, that was the other thing, was that she was going through and doing this research. And I have it on good authority, because she had listed like the countries that these people were doing the research in, and one of them was New Zealand. And I've been told that no one in New Zealand is working with her, so that immediately, you know, kind of put some dampener on the credibility of that claim as well. But I do, another person had reached out to me about her father, because she did say he worked for Pfizer, right?
Yep.
Well, the company he's worked with since, I believe it was 1986, is a company called Ducan. So it wasn't Pfizer, it was some other company. Then I believe, if I remember correctly, I looked at their, they make like products for science experiments and different things like that. So I don't even know if it's a pharmaceutical company per se. But so, you know, unless he had some sort of ties to Pfizer in some other way, either before 1986 or something, at least from 1986 on, because he was like the chairman or something, he's had no, at least from the history that I could see, he had no connection to Pfizer. But it would explain if he's got some lab, you know, background. And she did talk a lot about speaking with her father and some other people in her family having a medical background or a biology background, that she could have picked up from that or learned from it, or you know, spoken with people, or even done some. I don't know. It's hard to verify her work history. And that's what we were trying to find out, because she said she's had 20 years of lab experience, but most of her work history is in finance. And I believe Eric had even uncovered that her finance degree was a liberal studies degree or something.
Well, she said she was one credit short of having enough to call it a finance degree. So she takes a lot of liberties in her language. But, you know... Yeah.
That's why it's hard to piece anything, you know, together as far as what the real story is. And that's the frustrating thing is, you know, if it does, and it looks likely to me that if this stuff, if her background and her research and all this stuff is fake, it was absolutely necessary because she does have a way. She's a good, really good speaker. She did a great job with those presentations. You know, it seems like from what I gather, she agrees with a lot of what we are saying. She could have been a really good ally going out there and doing these presentations, getting on other shows like your show or, any other and speaking out and you know, promoting, getting the message out there. You don't need to be a virologist. You don't need to say you're a virologist, a double, you know, virology, immunology, PhDs. You don't need to say that you had done all this research that debunked virology. None of that was necessary. If she had just presented herself in an accurate and honest light, you know, it would have been just as fine. But unfortunately, it looks like she did not do that. And that reflects badly on everything else that unfortunately we can't verify any of it.
I just got an email from John Lukash, who is busy working for some kind of solution to vaccine poisoning. I've had him on the show a few times. Now, I didn't really look at the original video of this poor Nima story because I just had a stack of other things to listen to. So I sent it to John, I don't know if he sent it to me or I sent it to him, and he is very defensive of her. So, wow, we have so many people coming on one side, lining up one side or the other. I started a thread because I didn't think this was going to be so big. I started a thread on my Fakeologist forums, fakeologist.com/forums2. And it's called the Purnima Wah story. It's under the coronavirus hoax 2020 to 2030 subcategory. That's how long I think this is going to be going on. I hope it concludes in 2030. You know, we're on year three already almost. So John has a whole bunch of stuff here, and I put it in the link. So I'm trying to put both sides because people are really lining up on both sides. It's fascinating. So I'm putting these here just so I can eventually start reading what everyone's saying. And the comments are just incredible. So I don't know if these are real people in the comments on Substack, your blog or my blog, but, or if they're using a lot of their intelligence operatives to make it seem like there's a real debate here.
The problem is, and this is what we were afraid of. So when this, you know, came out, this story Eric did, Steve Kirsch, I believe, didn't we discuss him last time?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any, have you changed your, any change in opinion since this is, we have to check in every day to try and figure out what's going on. So what's your thoughts on him? Is he still on?
He's still pushing the same, you know, debate me. If you don't, then you're a fraud.
Right.
You know, be a better pony up the hunt or the $1 million. If you can't do that, then
I don't like that. Debate me. Yeah, I don't like that.
And so he did. He ended up coming out with his own spin on this, talking about Eric, you know, uncovering Purnima and that she was a fraud and all this stuff, and said, basically painted everyone else who is a virus denier. He named Dr. Kaufman, Dr. Cowan, the Baileys, Stefan Lonk, I believe, Christine, I think he threw her in there, basically saying we're all frauds. And so that was the fear, that they are going to prop Purnima up, and once those credentials and everything, someone, if it wasn't Eric, someone else would have gone through and properly vetted her. And once they did, and we're sitting there, you know, presenting her information, that bomb would explode and reflect on all of us. And that's what they're trying to do now, is saying, oh, Purnima is a fraud, so everyone else is a fraud too. That's saying the same things as she was saying. And it's unfair. First, I don't think we can really say Purnima is a fraud. You know, that's a strong word. We still don't even know the full story or anything. And that's the sad thing, because she did end up going on Regis's show. I don't know if you saw that last Thursday to defend herself.
I think so. I'm not sure though.
And unfortunately, like, I was really holding out hope. When I heard that she was going to be on his show, I was holding that hope that, she would, you know, not that I wanted Eric to be wrong, cause you know, he reached out to the school and they said, no, she wouldn't been there. So I knew he wasn't wrong, but I was like, well, maybe she went under an alias or something. I don't know, you know, but, she would not present any information.
Mm-hmm.
And Regis, who she considers a friend, had asked, you know, would you be willing to share that with me? And she said, no, I'm not going to share that with anyone. And so it just kind of was further evidence that these credentials just don't exist. If you had them and you're trying to defend yourself, you go on a show, someone's called you out, you could easily show your degree or your PhD, you know,
yeah.
Or the dissertation, just, or the thesis, whatever it is, just show an example of that, you know, just do something, give us something to give us some sort of verification that these claims, these incredible claims that you're making, are in fact true. But there are other people, I haven't seen them yet, but there are others that have jumped on this too, that are trying to paint us all under the same brushstroke as, well, Pornimo's a fraud, so these others are a fraud as well. Or you get the other side of the equation, which is, oh, these people, somehow it's become the men are going after the woman, which our group had women.
There we go with the old misogyny crap, yeah.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, there were three women in this group that were investigating her. So it was not just men looking at this, but, you know, it was this attack that we're ganging up on her, and this is how it's going to look. And so it's a tough situation to try and navigate, because the last thing we want is for it to be divisive, you know, to take people that we are all in agreement and bringing a divide between us because of where you stand on Pornhuba. And I think that's why a lot of people defend her, is because she was very likable and she's very charismatic and she speaks really well. I've been told she speaks better than me, which is probably true, because I'm not very good at
Well, you're getting better.
I'm getting better.
It's practice makes perfect.
Yeah, I'll just stand in the mirror.
I'm not a great speaker either, but I just pretend to be. I just play one on the radio, but I have fun talking. I think people like real talk. I don't want any slick con artists on here. You definitely sound like the real deal. She sounded pretty realistic too, and she was really breaking it down in a non sort of scientific way, so the average person could actually listen. When you start going on about, when one starts going on with all the technicality, I just start to fall asleep. Even I have limited interest in all of this when the technical stuff comes in. So when she was talking about what cholera really probably was and malaria, that really got my antenna up, because I've always agreed, and I've never heard anyone talk about that it's, I think the medical industry was born out of the chemical industry, because they needed to take it over to cover for the chemical poisoning that goes on around the world. I really do. And that's why the chemical industry took over the biology. And when she was talking like that I just don't hear enough people saying that. We really need that summary to be said.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why this thing is so frustrating, because that's why I've said I believe she could be a very powerful ally. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think she had a great style to her. I think her presentations were excellent. She was speaking very clearly. People connected with her. There's a reason people are defending her, because she does do a good job. The issue is then, why lie about who you are? What was the motive, or as far as what is the purpose of, you know, claiming that you've led this research if you didn't actually do it, you know? And so when someone starts to be dishonest about who they are, it taints their message. And that's the problem, I think, that we're having, is that we have to make sure that people that are out there are honest and they're truthful, because people are going to look for any reason to discredit us. You know, anyone who's talking about the lack of scientific evidence for viruses, they'll look for every single possible way that they can shut us down. And one of them is if we're sitting there, they're saying, well, these people that are talking about the lack of scientific evidence of virus are actually making up their own credentials, making up their research, saying all this stuff, all this evidence that they're putting out there is fake. They're just making it all up. And that is where it becomes an issue. But I will say, I went back and forth with people that I trust very highly, that I speak to all the time, who know this stuff inside and out. And they were also going back and forth on whether she was legit or not.
Because she said a lot of truth. A lot of truth.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. She speaks a lot of truth. And, yeah. And there is a lot that she knows.
And that's what COINTELPRO does. Alex Jones has me going all the time. And then he flips out and reverses his stand on Sandy Hoax. And then Joe Rogan reverses himself on the moon landing. I mean, come on. You can't do that. But that's what they do. Yeah. That's what they do. They lace their candy with a little poison, and then you suck on it, and then boom, knock you right out.
Yeah, and that was the concern. And again, I'm not saying that's Pornima in any way, but
could be.
There is that concern. You have to have that healthy skepticism. Anyone who comes out and rises that quickly, and I think that's why. But people do relate to her, and I can understand. I knew going into this, if this betting, you know, turns out the way we had hoped it wouldn't, that her credentials didn't exist, that research didn't exist, that, you know, anyone who's exposing that is always going to look at as the bad guy. Like, oh, you're just trying to tear someone down. You don't care about credentials. Now you care about credentials, all this stuff. And so we knew that the blowback wasn't going to be good, but, the thing is, it has to be done. You have to have people out there who are going to speak on this issue. If you're going to be out there promoting this information, you have to be seen as an honest person. You can't be making up your background. You can't be.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. I think the reason why she was exciting is she was actually, is she the first one that says she's been working in a lab for a while? We don't have anyone that's been a lab worker that's really come forward.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that was the main thing. And the way she was talking about how labs work, I think that is true. There's so much new truth that we've never heard from a lab person that I thought that was fantastic.
I will say, I don't know if you've had him on, but Mike Donio,
not yet,
former scientist, and he's been out. He has gone through, and some of her claims, you know, he's had I can't remember how long his career was in the field. I believe it was at least 20 years. And there were a lot of red flags to him on the things that she was saying, that he was like, well, if she has this experience and she has these dual PhDs, she should know better not to say this. And so his input was very invaluable to us as far as, trying to come to the truth on whether or not she is who she's claiming to be. It's frustrating, because I think it's obvious she's grown an audience and people trusted her, to have to break, not break that trust, but to tell people that this person may not be representing themselves accurately, and it's hard to do that, you know.
Well, she isn't the first; she won't be the last. Yeah. And as long as we know what game we're playing, I think it's fine. It all is fair in love and war, and we're in a war. This is a world war. There's no doubt, a war like no other. Now we're spending the time because we're deep into this. I guess this is sort of a passion for all of us. So as long as you realize what you're dealing with, the average person will not, which is it's always, wars are always about heart fighting for hearts and minds. And we know that the average person's never going to dig deep into this, but the ones that do will hopefully come to our site so we can hash it out. I just found Christine's PDF where she posted 28 pages of emails back and forth between the group and herself. One thing that I find quite suspicious, I always look at people's grammar. I look at people's spelling. I look at people's punctuation, ability to form sentences. Now, I'm really lazy when it comes to email, especially when I'm typing on my phone. I am very short. I don't sign my name. I just put minimum punctuation, and of course autocorrect changes half my words and I don't even notice. But if you're typing on a computer, which I think she probably is, I'm reading her run-on paragraph. She doesn't capitalize a lot of stuff. She's not a great grammar, not good grammar. So that's kind of suspicious as well. On one of the forums I used to be on, anyone who wrote like this was thrown off because they didn't want the forum's research to look like a dog's breakfast. And they were so strict. They'd say, listen, stop writing and run on sentences. Please capitalize. Please put paragraphs in. Don't, none of this. And her stuff here I'm reading, and I don't know if you guys can see it on the screen. It's just one big block paragraph here, and it's sort of run on here. So,
that was one of the big things too. Was you know, Christine, she was actually a pretty big supporter of Pernima throughout this whole thing, and she was really hopeful and wanting to believe this, and so she was our kind of our liaison between us and Pernima, and you know, so she gave her, you know, the full benefit of the doubt, and wanted her to be legit and for all this, and she was of the mindset that Pernima was giving us the real version of these events, like the 1500 sample, the lab raid, and all that stuff. And then when Pernima went on and defended herself, which was odd too. I don't know if you watched it, but the thing that just struck me was how many times she called herself a fraud.
Right.
Like, well, if I'm a fraud, I'm a fraud, and I'm sorry, Regis. I just thought that was an odd way to defend yourself. Like, if I was called a fraud, there's no way I'd say, yeah, okay, well, if you want to call me a fraud, then call me a fraud. I'm like, no, that's not, I'm not a fraud. Don't call me.
Well, I think it's, she's almost trying to garner sympathy just by,
yeah,
it's sort of a weak argument. Okay. I don't really care is sort of what comes across. You do what you want to do. I understand that if the story is legitimate and she phonied up her degrees just to get attention, maybe that was her way to come out. I mean, there's so much of her story that sounded like a rebel with a cause that was really intoxicating. If it's true, she said, I always argued with my father. I can identify with that. Yeah, you know, it just really endears herself to the audience. And if she said, well, I wasn't going to do this if I required this to get a degree, I was going to walk away from that too. So she's just seemed like the rebel type that's fighting the system, which I enjoy. I love that. I always, that's sort of what I saw in Donald Trump for a while until either he caved to the swamp or he was of the swamp the whole time and just was posing the whole time, which is, the jury's out on me. Either way, he's not really helping things at all, but he's just participating in the charade. So
yeah.
I guess we really want to believe so much.
Yeah, exactly. We want to believe, and that's the thing. And so when she did that interview and she basically threw Christine under the bus and had presented the email exchanges between us as we were harassing her and almost threatening her. And Christine she's amazing. She saves all this stuff. I mean, she's a pro. She's like, well,
and Christine is such a nice person. She wouldn't harass a mouse. She'd escort the mouse to the outside of the house. I think she's just that. She's sort of a diminutive, very pleasant, typical Canadian, I might say, woman. So,
and absolutely, and she's lovely, and there's no way.
And she has nothing.
Email.
Just reading this email, she says she's was living in her mother's basement. She's broke, no donations. I feel pretty crappy for her.
And she's doing this. I mean, a lot of us are doing this. Just it's not to get rich, and it's not to be popular.
No, you're never going to get rich fighting Big Pharma. If anything, you're going to get screwed.
Yeah, and we're doing this because we want this truth, the truth to get out there. We want this information to catch on so that people can finally start to question this and we can hopefully make some real change. But Chris, it was just the fact that Pornima went after Christine and those email exchanges and completely misrepresented them. That was just another red flag. Just if she's willing to misrepresent her credentials, her interview with Eric, and then these emails with Christine and the rest of us. And I had reached out after Eric's interview just because I wanted to try and see if Pranima would give us another chance and say, I know, I'm sorry, this wasn't meant to be an attack on you. We weren't trying to defame you or discredit you in any way. We just want to know the truth. Just level with us here. Let us see, tell us that the PhDs exist. Show us, give us this evidence that the PhDs exist and that the research exists. And she's right. She didn't owe us anything. You know, she didn't, even though she agreed to meet with us, she didn't owe us any sort of explanation, but it would have been a big step towards gaining some trust in that situation. And unfortunately it went the other way.
What do you think? Eric Coppolino, he's getting attacked too for his background, who he is and his radio network that he's from. He's not getting off lightly on this either.
No. And so it's, again, one of those where you're shooting the messenger, and it's unfortunate. I mean, I don't know everything about the story. So I can't really speak to what happened with Eric in the past, but I just know from what my interactions with him, he's always seemed very honest and trustworthy. And he's, he did what we should have all done, which was verified that those credentials actually exist. And that's the crazy thing is, Pranima even said in her, I believe it was either her first or second presentation, if you don't believe me, call the school, find out. And he did that, and he found out, and he's getting a lot of backlash for it. Yeah, so I think we all owe it to ourselves. You know, any time we're presented with information, you know, it's really easy to jump on that and say, oh, this person is speaking the truth, or yes, this is exactly what's happening, and to go along with it and not vet it, you know, not find out and verify if it's true. I we've all made this mistake before, and you know, I give credit to Regis because he's admitted, yes, I didn't vet her. I didn't, you know, a friend told me about her. I put her on. She sounded trustworthy and knowledgeable. And so I put her on, and he's allowed us. I just did an interview with him this morning with Christine and Bill Houston.
Oh, did you? Where's that? Yeah. I've never heard of this Regis character. So one thing this is doing is exposing me to new people again.
It's crazy how that works, right? I mean, that's the thing. And I'm actually going to, I believe I'm supposed to be on Regis's show tomorrow too.
You are popular. I got you. I'm lucky I got you tonight. I just thought, oh, I better get this story out. But wow, I got lucky. I got a scoop.
Yeah.
Got Mike on the show. Mike's in demand now. He's going to have to start getting an agent to book himself. He's so busy.
Something that's funny. Like that, but
that's great.
Yeah, but you know, what I'm trying to get at is we all fall for this at times. I mean, none of us are perfect, and you know, it's easy to jump on that information when you get excited. You're like, oh my gosh, this is it. We finally have this research that can destroy virology, and this is another virologist who's now coming out and speaking about it, like Dr. Lanka. You know, everyone's always like, well, Dr. Lanka, where are all the other virologists speaking out? Well, now we have another one. So it was easy to get excited and not to look into this, you know, to not verify that it was actually true. And I think, you know, you could look at Dr. Lanka as an example. If he were to, you know, if somehow his credentials ended up being fake, think of the blowback that would be on our community, because he's done so much of the research. You know, he's actually been going through and doing his own control experiments and all this stuff. I mean, what would be the blowback if someone like him, who's, you know, was a virologist and now is, he doesn't consider himself one anymore, but he was, you know, what if his credentials ended up being fake? How would that destroy the movement? Someone who's basically at the top of it. So that's why it is imperative that we had to make sure that, you know, this person who's claiming to be a virologist is really a virologist. And if she did this research, she really did do this research.
Yeah, Regis Trombley. Oh, he's in Russia, isn't he?
At least,
I'm just trying to find his videos here. Looks like, okay, so last thing he does here is got Punim on here August 25th on his blog. I don't know. Does he have, where is video? Are his videos from his, served from his own website, I guess, maybe? And then people replicate them?
Yeah, I know a lot of his, it goes on like BitChute and is it Rumble and Odyssey and things like that. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not the best person to go to.
So your interview is not up yet then?
It might not be. Yeah. Mm. I'm not positive, but because we just filmed it earlier today, and I know there's a time difference and everything, but he wanted to.
All my Faco 2 videos, they render within an hour, just so you know. I don't edit them, they just pop up. So when I press end, Faco 2 is going to have the video for you.
Oh, nice.
Another reason why I'm very grateful for the donors. And just as a side note, I just, FakoTube is now going to be mirrored in Europe, two spots in the US, LA and maybe New York. And it's based in Montreal, Canada. And it's also in Sydney, Australia. So it should be really fast. And I hope people enjoy it. And thanks for donating, all the donors. Because really, I'm just putting most of the money into the hardware to serve it up. So hope everyone appreciates that. And thanks to the donors.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it is. Because I don't have to waste my time uploading and getting deleted on YouTube and Rumble and all these places that change their mind. Even Substack. People are so enamored with Substack. I think at least one person was thrown off Substack.
Oh, really?
I can't remember who it was, but someone said that person was the first one ever get thrown off Substack or demonetized.
Was it Dolores Cahill?
No, that name doesn't ring a bell. Somebody else.
Okay, I remember she got thrown off of something, but I couldn't remember what it was. Maybe I was thinking maybe that was it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, the point is, just get your own platform, get your own wallets. Take crypto, pick a crypto, any crypto that you think is going to be around for another year or two. I think Epic Cash will be good. Bitcoin is always available. I'm actually paying people in Bitcoin for software work, which is great. Oh, wow. So my Bitcoin wallet, the money comes in, the money goes back out. Nobody sees it. I know you can track it on the Bit blockchain, but I don't think too many people are going to be tracking my tiny transactions, but it does work. I'm just telling people now, Bitcoin works, Epic Cash works, and don't bet the farm on it, but it's pretty good for buying and selling things and supporting small little baby enterprises like mine. So it does work, and it's pretty good, especially if the coin actually goes up, which not many have done lately. I might tell you, they're all on their way down thanks to Bitcoin. I heard they're going to be dragged right down to 10,000 US on Bitcoin. Right now it's Oh, it just went over 20 grand. So, okay, it's up, it's down. Not for the faint of heart, but just be aware. Be aware it works. Let's put it that way. You should put up some wallets, addresses on your site too, Mike, if you're taking donations, that is.
I have a small donation for, I think it's like a PayPal one on WordPress, but it's so hidden at the bottom of my site. I don't think most people see it, but I don't know. I'm
probably not.
Yeah.
I if they I get to the bottom of the page, people. But yeah, I see it there on your site.
Yeah. A really tiny one. People have donated and I definitely appreciate the donations and I'm absolutely just like you, like the money goes straight to the site and yeah. I actually do have to upgrade it because I'm running out of space on WordPress. And
yeah, get off WordPress, Mike. I'm telling you right
probably
now.
Should, yeah.
I use hostingmatters.com. Bunch of lovely ladies run this thing. I've been on there for well over 10 years. They're really responsive. They'll help you.
That's awesome.
And you have unlimited space. It's $112 a year.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
And it's your site. No, WordPress delete sites. I'm telling you right now. Like your site is got so much information that's over the target. I would be concerned. So
yeah, I've been backing it up, but definitely it's a concern. Trust me.
Yeah, if you have to pay, then pay somewhere else. Get off the WordPress. You're on their domain, I assume. You're on their servers.
I'm like the least tech savvy guy in the world. I own the virology.com site, but if I'm using the terminology right, they host it.
Yeah, if they host it, you have to get off it. So all you have to do is just transfer it. It's probably one or two buttons. Transfer it over to your own space, and I'm not saying you have blanket immunity anywhere you go, but you have a much better chance of not being tampered with. Let's put it that way.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And a lot of people that are not technical don't know the difference, but I'm telling you the difference. So just move. You could easily move it over and leave both sites running until you're sure that it's all there. And then just move your domain. Just repoint your domain to your new space.
That's a good idea.
It's not too hard. I wouldn't do it for you because I'd have to relearn it myself. It's not something you do often. So I usually go by when I need to know, I look it up and figure it out. So I don't do it for a living. So anyway, that's my stand on it.
Oh, well, thank you. I definitely appreciate the advice. That's very smart advice.
No problem. Any questions, just ask me. I've been doing this for a long time. And even if you, I bought the VideoPress service. I still have it. That's where you can, for $100 a year extra, WordPress will host up to 1 terabyte of videos, I believe. Oh, but wow. You cannot put any videos they don't like up there. Like they censor your uploads, even though you're paying for the space. So that's why I said,
oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I just said, forget it. I'm not going to upload there. It's a lot of work to upload stuff. So if you guys are going to delete stuff and maybe pull my account, goodbye. So that's why FakoTube exists. And so far, the guy that writes the script, he's really good. If I want something and I pay him, he'll put it in and he share it. Everyone gets the benefit of it that buys the script. But I don't mind the users supporting any changes. So for instance, today I put up a video, this video, called Fauci the Booster Salesman, Trust the Mice, Not the Science. And I always like to attribute all the things I upload to the original author. Like I'm not stealing the work, I'm just highlighting it on my site. So I had to add this little button here. I don't know if people can see. It's called Source. So under Category, I categorize all my videos, and underneath it says Source. So if you click the Source, you'll see where I got the video from. So this is Milk Bar TV out of Australia. And I grabbed the video off his site so you can go to his site. I'm not stealing, I'm mirroring. And almost all authors are okay with mirroring. Some aren't, and they are explicit saying, do not mirror my work, because they want to catch all the hits, which is a good idea and a bad idea. Sometimes I think it's better that you share your work, because the more people that see it, if you're out there to educate people, the better. So I believe in mirroring. If anyone wants to share my show, go for it. It would be nice if you told me where you shared it to, but you can download all my videos, all my shows. I don't charge for anything. We are value for value. So if you think you got value, whether it's $1 or $100, then you can donate. And I think it's the best way. Well, there you go. That's the new feature. Cost me $100. Source on all my videos. And I pull videos from Twitter, BitChute, YouTube, all kinds of places. So this hopefully will work, and hopefully you'll enjoy this. Sorry, Mike, I just wanted to get that out there.
No, you're fine. No, that's awesome. I people mirror my blog a lot, and I appreciate it when they do that, because you're absolutely right. You're getting that information out there, and that's the whole purpose, is to get as many eyes on it as possible, that so people can spread the awareness. Any way that we can do that, it's you know, more power to them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we've been going about an hour, and I know you got a lot of interviews all the time now, and you're busy, but I didn't realize until tonight that you did a huge post on this exact topic we're talking about tonight. And great graphic. Where'd you find this one? Putting the scientists under the microscope.
I can't remember what I Googled. I think it was like, I don't remember. I don't know. I just stumble upon things from time to time. I'm like, this is actually perfect, because you know, that's the scientist being examined. And that's essentially what we had to do. We had to examine someone claiming to be a scientist, and it wasn't an easy job, and I know there's the backlash, but hopefully the intent of that article was to explain the situation and why we felt this had to happen right now, why we had to verify her and to find out what the truth was in the matter, and how to repair the relationship and rebuild it from here. You know, we're not saying she can't, you know, no one's saying she can't be a powerful ally in this fight. She's very knowledgeable, and she's got the charisma. She can do excellent PowerPoint presentations. She can get her voice out there, but just do it as who Pornhima really is, not this false facade, seemingly false facade that she's been presenting as. Because anyone, I don't know if you heard about it, Christine can speak more on it, but there was a police officer in London who's been trying to break down this whole COVID situation, and had been trying to get information from Pranima. I can't remember if she shared it or what. I'm sure I'm getting the story wrong, but whatever the reason was, based on the information that Pranima had shared, he tried to use that, and it got him arrested.
Well,
and I think four people got arrested. And so that's where, you know, if people are, if someone is claiming to be an expert and they're claiming that they've done this research and this information that they're presenting is valid, but it's really not, and someone else believes it is and can go and use it, they themselves can get into trouble and get hurt from that. And Christine spoke on it. When the Regis Tremblay show comes up, the interview with the three of us, with Christine and Bill and myself, she speaks on that. I had never known that. So it just added another layer of why this is important to make sure that the information that is being shared is accurate and is coming from a trustworthy source.
Yes.
And so, my goal was to try and bridge the gap between those that support her and are angry about this, and those who believe it was necessary. So hopefully, I've had some good feedback from the article, but hopefully, you know, hopefully it will, it'll help in some way.
I wonder if she is, I'm reading some of the comments, so many good comments on your blog.
Oh yeah, a lot of really great people on there.
I'm just wondering, like, I really liked her idea about how, and I don't remember exactly how she worded it, and I've heard it said before, just how biology was taken over by chemistry, was taken mm-hmm. over by physics, which taken over by biotech computers. It's quite a chain of transformation. And she said no one is doing biology in labs anymore. It just doesn't exist. It's just crazy. There's no real biology in labs. And see, that's where she hooked me in, because I believe that to be true. We haven't had any lab people actually summarize it that way. And maybe that's because people don't study history that work in labs, and they just don't know what's changed over the last whatever years.
I know I'd heard that before her, but I remember she made a comment, something like that, on my blog, if I remember correctly, as well. And that's the thing. She did present a lot of truth and a lot of information that some of us might know, but we take for granted. We don't say it. And she was saying it really well. And so it's really captivating, and it brings people in, and it does. It helps to lend some credibility. I mean, she's obviously well versed in what she's talking about. I don't know if she has a science background or a lab background or not, but she definitely has knowledge, whatever the case may be. And so it's just unfortunate that if what we believe is true, you know, is true, that this was a false facade, and she misrepresented who she is and the research that she's done. She didn't need it. You know, she didn't need to claim these things. She is smart enough on her own and talented enough that she would have had a voice in here, you know? So
do you remember who the person she worked with in Santa Barbara, Judy Davis?
Judy Meyer, I think, is the name of the person. I don't know who that is.
I was wondering if she exists, because that woman sounded like a firecracker as well.
That's a good, yeah. You know what?
Was it Santa Barbara?
I was planning on looking into that, and I never did. And I've been so swamped with everything else. That's a good question. Really good question.
Was it Santa Barbara? And she apparently died?
She is dead. That's what they said. That's the hard thing. Like, even the PI, the woman who apparently, you know, ran her or set her up for this experiments with the 1500 samples, is dead now, according to Pornima.
And everyone's dead. Great.
Yeah. Like, there's, and that's the thing that just kind of also really was a red flag to me, was this, apparently the FBI raided this, you know, this university and confiscated all their stuff.
Well, the FBI raided Trump's Mar-a-Lago, allegedly. I don't believe that either. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think it's another story as part of the narrative. If the FBI raided it, they should be able to come out and say it. And I'm not really following that nonsense, but pretty sure nobody raided anything.
Well, and if they did...
Great story, though.
She's sitting there saying, you know, you guys missed the evidence. I've got it right here. You know, I've got the digital and the paper copies of it, me and four other people. So she painted a huge, if it was true, she just painted a huge target on her back by saying, I messed with your investigation. You didn't get everything. I've got it right here. Come and get it.
Yeah.
And so if that were true, the best thing she could possibly do would be to release that information as quickly as possible out there, not, you know, sit on it and tempt them. But she said they did come to her door. But the other thing was, two of the people that she said were part of her team both died mysteriously. And she said they were, it was under suspicious circumstances. She didn't believe that they that it was I believe she said they committed suicide or something, if I remember correctly, but whatever the case is, very suspicious. And then her PI dies. I'm like, well, if this is the case, you know, this is someone who should be very concerned about her own well-being if people around this whole thing are dropping dead.
Right. And that's what they want to induce, fear. They always want to induce fear and put mystery around it that's never solved. We don't know, it's a mystery. So anyone that's real, that's considering doing what she's doing, is going to think once, twice, and three times and probably not do it. And that's what false whistleblowers are there for. That's one of the reasons in PSYOPs we have whistleblowers that get into big trouble and their lives are ruined, and that keeps everybody quiet. Actually does work really, really well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So maybe she's, when she laces that into her story, that's PSYOPery right there.
Yeah. There was a lot of those moments, the little things that just, you know, were alarm bells that were ringing. And it's a frustrating situation, but hopefully, you know, it's out there. If she does, you know, if for some reason she does come out and, you know, if I produce her degrees and the evidence, I'll be more than happy to retract everything I've said and, you know, eat my words on this. I don't believe that's likely, but if she were, I, you know, it'd be.
No, there's no need to eat your words. Your words are all perfectly legitimate. You can just leave them intact, saying, okay, problem solved. She answered all our questions and this closes that chapter, but you don't, no point in rewriting history. Everything you said is relevant.
Which I think, yeah, that's great, because even Regis, you know, even though he admitted he didn't vet this properly and stuff like that, he's leaving the interviews and the presentations and everything up there so that people can watch him still, which I think is great.
He
doesn't want to delete those. Yeah. And it's part of this story, you know, it's part of this narrative. And there is truth within those presentations as well. She did present a lot of truth mixed within there. And so I do believe people can learn from it. They just have to be able to discern where the truth, it, you know, begins and where it ends.
John Lukash, who's been on my show a couple times, as I mentioned earlier, he did a blog post that maybe you can read if you would like.
That'd be great. Yeah.
It's, if you can find it on Fakeologist forums, fakeologist.com/forums2. You can register if you want to keep track of where you are and post. And,
that'd be awesome.
And I put, as I said, I wanted to create a thread here because this is getting out of control. So I want to just keep a thread for my own. And I really think threads are the best way to track stories, especially with some of my researchers who will actually find an old thread and add to it years later, which is great. Keeps everything in one place, as opposed to Telegram groups and Discord, where you get this one long series of messages that are not threaded, and it just is impossible to follow. I really don't like those groups, but I know people love them. So I'm just selling old technology here. This is old technology forums. I'm trying to encourage people, put your stuff in the forums because it's searchable and it's super fast. Can't do that with Telegram. Sorry, just doesn't happen. But anyway, so I put a post to John, and he's at estateartistry.com. /blog, and he did a breakdown, I think, of the Judy or the Dr. Lee Merritt Purnima Wa interview that I post on FakeoTube, and he did put a timestamp at 6:55. The woman's name is Judy Evans Meyer.
Yeah. Yep.
And he just goes on with some comments on the interview. I haven't read this yet, but I'm definitely...
Yeah, I want to check that out. That'd be great to see.
Because he's a really smart guy. I really like John, but he's definitely opposed to... He thinks she's the real deal. So I don't mind reading both points of view and making my own opinion, as everyone should. I'm going to read this. He said, she said she died of ovarian cancer in 2012. So she does maybe look like a real person. If you do a search on Judy Evans Meyer, So she does have a track record here. But she died in 2012. Interesting. PhD, she was 69, so she would have been 79. So it seems like a real person.
Yep, definitely. And that's the thing, that's it's hard to verify now. I don't know if there's anyone connected to Judy Evan Myers that, you know, could shed some light on this. That would be a really interesting angle to look into, but it's hard to verify since obviously the woman has passed away. But if there is anyone, that'd be awesome if they would step forward just to at least verify that aspect of it. It'd be great.
Looks like I'm
not verify it, you know?
Yeah. I just got a message from Facebook saying they didn't like my latest post.
No, of course not.
No, I just put my oar in the Facebook group thingy because I just started a little Facebook group just to see how it worked. And then, man, you put something up and they just sting away. So that's why I don't put any energy into Facebook, but I have a presence there. But I don't recommend it. I don't know if you know, but I've been doing a show with Tiago on Facebook because he has the Facebook group called Died Suddenly. He renamed it and he's got 200,000. Yeah. He renamed it because just for marketing purposes, it was called Silenced Voices of Canada. And it was a pretty big group. And he was worried if it went over 10,000, they'd get deleted. He's really careful about what they post. I'm not as careful with my little group. It is my little experiment. Anyway, when he renamed it Died Suddenly a few weeks ago, he started getting 1 to 20,000 new admissions or 20,000 new members a day.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know why it's still up. But he's super careful what he puts up. Yeah, he won't.
Yeah, must be avoiding triggering whatever their algorithms are looking for.
That's what he said. That's what he absolutely said. That's what he's doing. He thinks he's figured it out. And died suddenly.
Anyway, we can get around it.
193,000 members. So,
oh, wow.
We did a show together just... It's a call-in show because I've got everything set up. And we had some real people. We think we're real call-in with all the Died Suddenly stories that they have. And you'll go nuts reading these stories. Or just if they're real, they're crazy. It's terrible. It's awful. It's happening. But we had about 150 live viewers on Facebook, which is pretty good. You know, it's pretty good. The most I've ever had watch or listen to me at once. So that was pretty interesting. So we're going to do it again.
Definitely.
We're going to do it again Thursday and see what happens. But we can't say certain words. We don't say certain words. You know, we use code words. He calls it carnival talk. He says this is what is required to stay on. So obviously they're allowing
like
it.
Instead of saying the vaccine, you have to say the vacuum or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we call it, yeah. Stefan in Sweden, he calls it the tea. Drink the tea. Tea drinkers. I like that. It's kind of interesting.
That works.
So that works. So we're doing that. It's pretty interesting. I just wanted to draw your attention. 200,000 people.
Check that out.
Isn't that crazy?
That is. It's amazing. Especially with the censorship the way it's been. It's awesome that he's been able to get around that. He'll have to help other groups maybe put out you don't want to give away your secrets, but you know what I mean? Just to be able to get as many groups out there as possible.
Well, it's all the stuff he's allowing are personal stories. And they're pretty, you know, every one of them is sad because it's people that died suddenly. Now, why the people that run the place would allow all this to be broadcast? Either they're just ghouls and they love watching people suffer. I don't know. But it's up there. And it's remaining. Coming up to 200,000.
It's awesome. It's climbing.
Yeah.
Good way to get the word out.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if he doesn't post anything really connected to my site. He won't even link to my site on this group. because he doesn't want to get torn down. So
yeah, it'd probably tear him. Yeah, they'll look for your stuff.
So unfortunately, he's super careful. Well, whatever works. So good for him. So people look for that group. My group is called Unknown Causes. I have only 65 members, and I'm already getting in trouble. Oh, I have to approve new members. I see. That's how you do it. So approve. There you go. So much administration.
Now you got 68.
Yeah, now I got 68, exactly. And a new strike.
Oh, man.
All right.
I'll remember to join that.
Yeah, Unknown Cause. I don't even have it linked on my blog. I just figured if people go there and find it, that's fine.
I'll search for it.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you try and search for Died Suddenly, you might not find it right away. It's not at the top.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. They're
members. You'd think that'd be like way up there.
No, their Facebook is really good at censoring. Yeah, yeah. They're really good at controlling searches. They know how people give up after the first page. They don't go to the second page. They don't look very hard. So they know all that.
They don't.
But anyway, Mike, thanks for coming on. It was a good interview. I'm glad I'm caught up now. I'm now, I guess I'm falling towards the she's a plant side. You swung me over that away.
Well, it's unfortunate that it had to be swung that way. We were really hoping for it to be not that case. But yeah, from everything that we've uncovered, it definitely is leaning that way for us as well. So, but thank you for allowing me to come on and to speak on this. And
oh, that's great.
More than happy to anytime.
No, it's great. Well, you got a cutting edge blog. It's called ViroLyG.com. ViroLyG.com. So everyone should go there. Mike is a great writer, great research, puts a ton of effort into all his posts, way more effort than I ever do. But he does actual research. That's why. And he's got great comments, and he has a PayPal button at the bottom. You can donate, help him out. And, you know, any small amount really encourages people. So definitely do that if you can and help Mike out, help me out, but, you know, help independent media out more than anything. Just put your money, your coffee money, your whatever small money into independent media. This is the future. This is where you're going to get closer to the truth than anything you can find in the mainstream or legacy media. You got to encourage people, especially when it's not their full-time job, because they could do something else. They could go watch a movie, or they could do all kinds of other things. I'm sure Mike would like to do many other things instead of trying to save the damn world. Yeah, Mike, I'll put the PayPal button at the top. He should put it right at the top.
You know what? It's the theme. It won't allow me to. Whatever the WordPress theme that I have, it only allows it at the bottom. So I like the theme too much. I'll have to toy around with it, I guess.
Well, I've got on my website, and I've got Velocet helping me out. As a matter of fact, maybe I'll tell Velocet, who's a good producer helping me out. I'll tell him maybe to contact you.
And that'd be nice.
I'll copy him on an email, because I can't remember his email right now. So if I just copy you. And he put this ribbon on mine. I don't know if you can see the screen. It's a red ribbon. It says, "This site would not exist without support from our community. Please consider donating." So you click on this, and it brings you to my donate page. And there it is right there. So you need a button like this. This is Donor Box. I will... if you can see this, add Donor Box to your site. If you add this to your site, clicking this link, I'll get 50 and you'll get 50 bucks.
Oh, nice.
So take a look at everything on my donor page. Feel free to copy it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I definitely appreciate the advice and the support. That's very helpful.
Yeah, I would definitely, I've got an Epic Cash thing. I know a lot of people don't like these smaller coins, but I have Epic Cash for small donations. You can donate a half a penny using Epic Cash for free. It's really cool. I take Monero. I'm going to cut the pirate coin out. I'm dropping that, and I got a Bitcoin wallet. So you got all that. And yeah, just copy everything on my page if you want. It's and I don't know how to get this ribbon, but I'm sure you can put it on top of your theme. That's another pretty cool thing to do as well.
So
So when I hang up with you, I'll find the email from Bellisette and see if he'll help you out.
Well, thank you. I definitely appreciate that.
All right, no problem. All right, Mike, I'm getting tired. You're tired probably too. So thanks a lot. And
you're welcome.
We'll talk to you next
time. Thanks again for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, me too. Thanks. And thanks for keeping up the fight. Good stuff.
Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening. As we said, fakeologist.com/donate. If you want to help out the show, keep it going. This is a value for value proposition. We take your time, your talent, your treasure. And please participate in the comments. Please share this video. Don't hog it all to yourself. We know we got lots of super loyal listeners that come every night to listen to me drone on, which I appreciate. Like tonight we have 17 on FakeoTube live. You're giving up your night to listen to me. We've got one on Facebook and two on DLive. So it's about 20 people live. That's amazing and inspiring. But share it. Please share it out. And share out FakeoTube. Look at all the videos I post here. Old shows, other people's shows, funny clips, some music, some audio chats. It's all here. And you can go to fakeologist.com for everything, and that will link you to all these things. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks for sharing. Who's on tomorrow night? You want to know? I want to know too. I'm going to have to bring this up automatically here. So let's go to fakeologist.com/live. And let's see. I might not have anyone tomorrow night. I wasn't even expecting to call Mike, but I just realized that he was doing good work with Purnima on the Purnima story. So he got me up today, and I'm pretty much done with the story now. Tomorrow's Uncle Vigilante, Epic Cash, sponsors FakeoTube. So Uncle Vigilante every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. So that'll be tomorrow for about an hour. So thanks a lot. Take care. And we'll see you tomorrow.